Welcome back to another episode of Six Pints on the Richer. This is John and Dan, and this is also episode 23.
Hitting that Jordan.
23 and me.
Yep. That Jordan, that LeBron, both of them.
I know nothing about basketball.
Michael Jordan is number 23. LeBron James is number 23 because his favorite player is Michael Jordan.
No, cool. Good
I
for
think
them.
I think LeBron is 6 now, now that he's on the Lakers, but he was originally 23.
The more you know.
There it is.
I never knew
I'm
that.
Saying there it is now. There it is. That's the new there
that
you
is true. No, that's true, though. That is there because that is there for me to soak in and take in because I know nothing about basketball.
There it is.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. If I could think of different words to say, that'd be really cool.
Eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I had nothing to add to that. Long filler, but another episode.
Yes, we're here for episode 23. We're drinking some crazy beers this week.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. I can see the cans, but none of them look familiar except one that I wanted to try.
So this is a wild time. So we're going to be drinking. So none of these really correspond with the Midwest. Something we've also talked about is we want to focus on not just, I mean, we want to focus majority on the Midwest beers,
right.
But also I also like doing beers that are available to people locally. That's why I don't like bringing on beers that are like from Tavor. And also I just don't like Tavor because I run a local liquor store. So I don't want, so I don't like people shopping on those kinds of things.
Right.
But, I also like to showcase beers that are available, especially rare ones when they are available. So a lot of the things that we're drinking today, not every single one of them, but 5 of the 6 are ones that, so I believe last weekend or 2 weekends ago, well, whenever I'm dating this, doesn't matter. Recently,
Last few episodes ago, there was
a 450 North brewery down in Columbus, Indiana, I believe. They had a big festival, a 450 Fest, Corn Maze Fest, something like that, whatever it's called this year. For their festival, they contacted a lot of rare breweries that we don't get in Indiana and said, hey, we're having this festival. We really want your beers. Get a temporary license. I don't know how this all works, but I know it happens a few times a year for certain festivals where they just say, it used to happen for Dark Lord Day, but now Dark Lord Day doesn't really happen anymore.
Dark Lord is Three Floyds.
Yeah. So they used to do it, and this used to happen for that, but then now that doesn't really happen anymore. But for this same kind of thing where a bunch of these breweries will get like a one-time thing and to send beer specifically for this festival. But then these breweries also, they're like, hey, if we're sending a van full of beer, or like, we're not just going to send 5 kegs for this one-time license, let's send a bunch of cans and stuff too, and then that all goes into the same distributor, and that distributor then distributes the beer to the other brewery. So it's like a one-time thing where it's like, cool, we get these beers specially right now.
Yeah.
So the beers that we just received today, our store, we got about 80 new beers today.
I remember you mentioned that last week about the big haul that's coming in. You're like, yes. I don't know how to like get this in the cave.
Yeah, we got a crazy amount of new beer from a lot of breweries that you've either never heard of or may have heard of them, but never seen in our stores.
Okay.
And we're, that's yeah, what we're drinking this week.
Yeah, none of them look familiar
to me. Yeah. So that's a lot of them. Some are hoppy. I focused a lot more on smoothie sours because that's kind of also the breweries that 450, since that's what they do. They also kind of focused on getting those kinds of breweries in who specialize in those as well. So yeah, that's what we're drinking this week. It is a mishmash of fun stuff that, this also, like I said, a lot of smoothie sours. 3 of the ones we're drinking this week are big smoothie sours. So we're going to have to change the name of the, this is the diabetes episode, the diabetes-ode. We have to change the name to
it's
the podcast.
What is it? Mystery 6 Diabetes Edition.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Yeah, that'll definitely be the
Mystery
name
6
now.
Beatus Boys.
Beatus. There you go. Yeah, Beatus coming at you.
Yes, exactly. We are full Wilford Brimley
riding
on our horse. So.
Yeah.
But actually, the one that we're starting with, funnily, is one that actually is available regularly. Actually, this is a new one from them and a style that we've talked about. We've never had this beer before. So this is Untitled Art, and we are drinking their Cold IPA.
One of my favorite breweries.
I love this brewery, and this style is quickly becoming my new favorite style. So I was excited to see them do one. So I know we talked about this a few episodes ago about cold IPAs.
Yeah, it's like an IPA but treated like a lager.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's like an...
I'm trying to remember.
I know there are specialties that like... Or there are characteristics that differentiate a cold IPA and an India Pale Lager.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the differences are. I think maybe that the IPL, this is like the Kolsch to like an IPL or something, where like an IPL is a lager made and then just hopped like an IPA, and where this one is an IPA, it is just lagered, like made like a regular IPA and then just like fermented like a regular IPA, I believe, and then or cold fermented or something, where I don't know if they're using ale yeast in this or lager yeast. I would assume ale yeast because it's an India, it's an IPA, India Pale Ale, so they're just using ale yeast, like warm top fermenting yeast, warm fermenting yeast, and then just lagering it.
Okay.
That's why it's so freaking clear.
Yeah, totally. That was like the very first thing I noticed. Usually ales are more opaque, and this one's just like I could see straight through it like a lager.
Yeah.
This like is, it looks like a lager.
It does. This is really good.
Yeah.
This is like ringing endorsement for me. I will be buying a six pack of this. Like I will hopefully see if the distributor has more, because I'll definitely buy more and drink more myself. Like I... like I've said before, I feel like I don't buy things. I don't buy more than one because I like to try as many things as I want. But this one
is totally worth it.
I can just crush a lot of these. This is really, really good. I love finding IPAs like this, especially nowadays when I feel like I have, by discerning taste, I mean stupid idiot taste, where I just want to like I used to be able to just be like zombie dust. Yeah, I just want to drink like 45 of those in a row. It's great. And I still like zombie dust, and I'll get the 19.2 ounce can still and just enjoy it. But it's not like something I just want to. It's tough finding a beer nowadays that I just want to drink forever. Like I love finding a beer that you just take a sip and you're like, wow, I just don't want to stop drinking that beer. That's so good. Totally. This is like on, this is near that level where I could just like drink. If alcohol didn't get in the way, I feel like I could drink six of these just being like, wow, that flavor is great.
Yeah.
So it's an IPA.
Been doing that journey with non-alcoholics myself.
Oh yeah.
So
well, yeah. There you don't have to stop until you're full, really.
Yeah, full, or you've maxed out in your caloric intake.
Like I literally,
if you're cognizant about that.
True.
Which, I mean, it's pretty much just water with hops. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, talking like 12 calories for like an athletic light.
Yeah. Exactly. That's true. Yeah. So it's an India Pale Ale, cold brewed, whatever. And with the Simcoe, Strata, and Citra hops. So, very nice.
All those you can definitely taste.
Yeah, I definitely get the... I think the Simcoe... I feel like Simcoe is having a resurgence in my brain and flavor profile.
I had that, too, by Simcoe a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And that was...
that was really good.
Amazing.
I really liked it.
Which is hilarious, because at the citywide tasting, the guy that was, like, standing next to me... he had the vibe of like, I brew my own beer. And he was like, oh, Simcoe. I can't do Simcoe. I'm like, if I remember right, I kind of like that one. Like it kind of has like a good creamier texture, mouthfeel to it. And there's not much like else to it profile wise. Like there's a little bit more dryness to it.
It's like lemony, citrusy. Some people say catty, like cat pee kind of ish. Like you get, if you're smelling
like an ammonia.
Yeah. Like if you're, like, you can get that, like if you smell like the direct hop, but I feel like when it comes across as just like a lime zest.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like there's not much to it unless you like, I don't want to say brew it correctly, cause who am I to say that? But like sometimes you taste and it just tastes like it falls flat flavor wise. But Windmill like crushed it.
Yeah.
That is so good.
I think Simcoe.
That would be on my list of drink.
Yeah,
nonstop.
That one was really good. Yeah, I like that one a lot. It was one of my favorite ones I've had from them in a little while. And the can was really cool, too.
Oh, yeah.
Really good label.
America.
Yeah, very American label.
America vibes.
But very, very good label.
Yeah. In a cool way.
Yeah.
It looked appropriate.
Definitely. It's red, white, and blue. So maybe it's French if you're French. Whatever you want. Or it's Russian if you're Russian. But
well, I mean, it's like Paul Revere's ride.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
where
yeah,
it's
exactly.
coming from. For so, sure. like, yeah. it makes sense for it to be America.
Right, definitely. Yeah. Such, yeah. All those have the same label but different colors. They always do it really cool. Whoever their artist is, like choosing those color combinations.
Yo, what was the one that had like the compass vibe to it? I thought that was a Simcoe one, but it was like a. Oh, what are the other hops out there? Not Amarillo or whatever it's called. I know I didn't say that right.
Oh, you're pretty close.
Okay, cool.
You're good. Yeah. You didn't say Amarillo, so you're fine.
Amarillo, yeah. Almond flavor.
This is America.
Almond Amarillo.
Yeah.
It wasn't that one. It wasn't Strata.
There's a Galaxy one.
It wasn't Galaxy. That one's purple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
anyways,
all...
I don't want to dwell on it too
yeah,
long.
Whatever we had, but either way, like there's other beers. Like one of my favorite IPAs, haven't had for a long time, Westy from Bear Hands, but they do a good IPA, and that is Mosaic and Simcoe. And I feel like Simcoe by itself.
Mosaic is what it was.
Okay, yeah. 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 Like, I feel like Simcoe is really nice paired with something else citrusy. Like, this one is Strata, which I feel like reminds me a lot of Mosaic because you get some of that, like, tropical vibes from it.
Like a mango texture
like
to
mango,
it.
Yeah, those kinds of things. And I feel like the Simcoe off plays that. Or, like, just like the other one, the Two of by Citra Simcoe. Like, it's a balance of both hops. So I feel like that kind of, they play off each other in a nice way.
Yeah, that beer was so good. It had like a taste of, like, the yeast was very prominent, but the smell of it was very like citrusy, and I liked that a lot. Like it smelled like someone just took like a bunch of lemon zest and like shaved it right across the top on the foam. It was so good.
That one was really nice, and it was, yeah, the haze. I like the haziness of it too. So the next one we're getting into, this is the only other IPA that we're drinking today. But now we're getting into the ones that are difficult to find. And like I said, but they're available in stores, in our store, at least right now.
Until tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, if they all sold by tomorrow, I'd be so happy. That'd be wonderful to sell that many. But also, I'm just hoping they're sold through the holidays, basically. But also, they're smoothie sours, like, so they can sit on the shelf for a while. But also, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're also not a lot of them are inexpensive either. So some, you know, topping like $40 a four pack and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's always fun. So this one we're drinking right now, this is Odd by Nature Brewing Company. They are out of, we're going to see this right now, if I can read their label. They're out of Maine, it looks like. Cape Reddick, Maine. And yeah, that's a fun. So this one is called Double What Plants Crave. I assume there's a single What Plants Crave. So this is the double version of it. This is a double IPA with Nelson and Strata hops. What Plants Crave, you know, a play on, well, from Idiocracy, the movie, where they, where instead of all the plants in the movie are like, because they're in the future and everybody's an idiot, and all the plants have died because they're watering, because they say, oh, like people, Gatorade's really good for you, so we should give Gatorade to plants. So then actually they give all the Gatorade to plants, so all the plants die, and blah, blah, blah. So that is the story.
But they can't drink sugar.
Right, exactly. So that is the story there. So that is the story behind this can label and name.
Yeah.
So
it's got like a construction vibe, has that yellow and black stripe on it, and then it looks very dystopian.
Right.
Stuff.
I feel like Idiocracy is very one of those movies where it has kind of, I don't know, in certain cultures right now, it's just like, oh, it's looked down upon maybe, but I feel like people who haven't seen it, like I kind of thought that for a little while, but then once I realized like, oh, it's Mike Judge who did King of the Hill and everything. Beavis and Butthead, I guess, was like his first thing, but like King of the Hill, Office Space, Silicon Valley, like a guy who's kind of one of the better satirists out there. American satirist, at least, who's just doing like without being too tongue in cheek about it, which is like not pulling any punches. But it's a pretty funny movie. It's one of those that like the cover, I don't even know, like it may have got theater release. It almost looks like a made for DVD movie or whatever. Cause it's like Luke Wilson's in it and Dax Shepard's in it back in like the early 2000s. So like the kind of your direct to DVD movie people in it or whatever, but it's pretty funny. And, Terry Crews, he is the president in that one, so that's good too.
That's awesome.
Yes, and he is exactly crazy, so that's really good as well. But yeah, enough about the movie that I keep talking about. This beer smells awesome. I haven't even drank it yet, but it just smells amazing. What do you think about it?
It smelled like, I mean, I just said like, whoa, out loud when I was smelling it. It was not in a bad way. It just kind of smelled like a, this sounds really weird, but like an almond meringue taste to it. It sounds really weird. I don't know how to describe that other than that. I don't know. It just smelled very pleasing. I don't know. Very sweet. Very sweet smell.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know what other words to use. I'm trying to like convey what it is that I smelled, but it was very unfamiliar in like a cool way.
Right.
Not a stinky way.
No, it's a really nice, and I think it has to do with maybe the hops that they use, and I think what I saw, Strata and something else, but we had something else last week, last episode with Strata as well, and I forget what it was, but it's just reminding me And it was just in that cold IPA. It just reminded me, like, oh, yeah, this hop's really good. I feel like I haven't had it a ton lately.
Yeah.
But it is, like, a really good hop that hasn't been used super frequently until probably the last 5-6 years or something like that.
It's totally been more prevalent lately, I've noticed, for sure. I mean, the minute we tried that last episode, I was like, that's all I saw. When the Beer Cave Nux was like, these guys are doing Strata. This one's right. Strata.
And it could just be a big, like, them all coming at the same time. It could be like a harvest thing. Like maybe Strata was out of stock for a long time and then the hop harvest just happened. So now everybody's kind of like,
that's so true.
Cause you see that, whenever the hop harvest, I think you see it more in spring because I think Galaxy is a New Zealand, like Australia, like Southern hemisphere hop.
Yeah.
So then their harvest is in the springtime. So then that's why, gotcha. Cause since with the seasons being flipped or whatever, like you see that a lot where in the spring you'll see like, oh, everyone just came out with a Galaxy beer because all the Galaxy just
true.
Like it's available right now. So everybody buys it and wants to use it fresh because it's a really, really good, special, expensive hop. There was a while there in like 2016, 2017 where Galaxy, it was like really, really cool. Really like one of the best hops. And then it just like the market just shot up where I don't know if there was like someone had a bad harvest or something, but it was like Galaxy like tripled in price to where a lot of breweries were just like, I have special beers that I want to use Galaxy for, but I can't even make it because I'm not going to pay triple the amount for the hops. Mm-hmm. And then I don't want to sell the beer for that much more.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be like, oh, this beer was this much. And like, you know, you have to appreciably change the price on the beer just to make it make sense, just to make a profit.
Last week it was $16. Now it's $32.
Right. Exactly. And if you're putting, you know, a lot of craft breweries, you're making an IPA with it, you're putting a lot of hops in there, like that increases the amount per batch that you're doing with it and everything. And you don't want to sacrifice the beer flavor by like dropping the amount of hops you're putting in or anything.
That was really good. I liked that.
Yes. Yeah.
I still can't figure out what that flavor was that I was smelling. I even was like sniffing my cup after I finished it. I still don't know what it is though.
Yeah. You're like, what could... It's always fun trying to test out, like, where are those smells?
Yeah. This smells like my great aunt's basement. Very musky and damp and dank and dark.
That'll have...
Which actually does sound like a beer flavor profile.
Oh, definitely.
Minus the dank, because that's pretty obvious.
But... Grandma's basement, definitely somewhere, sure.
That has to be a beer. Grandma's basement.
Grandma's Michigan basement.
Oh, for real.
That's a whole thing. That's like dirt and clay. So the next one that we're drinking, this is a brewery that has been in the state before, but only like one other time, maybe on a similar kind of thing. This is RAR.
That branding for the can.
Yeah, this is peak. Honestly really different. This is a different one from them that I just kind of bought based on the label, and I didn't realize it was RAR just because this is called Warp Whistle, and it looks a lot like a Super Mario World kind of thing going on.
Yep.
Super Mario Brothers 3, I guess, technically, if we're talking about a warp whistle, but it has same kind of can vibe. But RAR, actually, they're a lot more famous for, I believe they do a line, it's called Out of Order, and they look like, all the cans look like slush puppies, and they have like the slush puppy like logo on it, kind of, and they're all more like smoothie sours. This one's a little different. Like I said, this is warp whistle. This is a watermelon goza.
Oh, man.
So this is 4.2% alcohol. That'd be nice for the in-between on what we're drinking. Not that the other ones are too crazy. I think the last one that we drank was probably the highest we're going to drink, and that was around 8%. The others are smoothie sours as well, so usually those aren't like super high ABV. But yeah, so nose is great. I'm wondering how the flavor is going to be. It smells like a watermelon Jolly Rancher.
I was just thinking something to that effect, yeah. Yeah, definitely Jolly Rancher. Like, just very compact and...
You need to drink that.
Okay.
You need to just... It tastes like a watermelon Jolly Rancher.
For like, context for listeners, he took a sip and, like, just looked like he was just dumbfounded and then said what he said.
That's like a, really good.
It was like a very pregnant 5 seconds.
It was like an epiphany. Like
on your tombstone, it'll say drink warp whistle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
I'll have a warp whistle on my tombstone to make people think like, oh, actually he like went to a different world.
That is legit a watermelon. Yes. Jolly Rancher.
Tastes exactly like a watermelon. Holy crap. It's stupid. Like, it's so good. Like,
that's disturbing. I bet you they literally just melted watermelon Jolly Ranchers and like threw a little zhuzh of salt in
it.
There
is,
just to...
It is like, in, but also like it's insanely balanced in right. a way where like you think of a Jolly Rancher being like, if it was liquefied, that kind of thing, like it'd be too sweet. Be like, this is sweet, and it's like, this is a right. beer, but I feel like the salt balances it in a way that like I want to keep drinking this. Like, usually when I drink smoothie sours or pastry stouts mm-hmm. or things that are overly sweet like that,
there's like something heavy-handed.
Yeah, we're like yeah. I mean, sometimes even I don't know if we had it, I don't think we've drank it on the show, but there's a Windmill just released a root beer stout, like a root beer pastry stout recently.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty good, but the root beer is like very heavy handed in a way that is like, the taste really good. And it tastes, it's a root beer float. It's something like some float. The name is some play on like it, the clown, like we all float down here, something like that. So it's like a root beer float sour, and it is not, sorry, root beer float stout, but, it's really, the flavor's really good. But like, I was talking to Chris from Windmill, and like, he agreed to. He's just like, it's kind of weird, right? And I'm like, it's weird. Like, I couldn't drink a pint of it for sure. Like, I think I opened a can. We split it like four ways with a couple other people. We're like, this is really good. I couldn't drink much more of it though. But if you want root beer, like,
just a lot of flavors.
Root beer
happening.
Float, like, it's like very that much. Like, okay. I couldn't finish a whole can.
Okay.
Like, it's what I have talked about here before, and what I like to reiterate. Like, it's a good festival beer. It's a great festival beer. So you drink 5 ounces of this, you're like, that was insane. That was awesome. Really glad I got right. to experience that. I don't want 10 more ounces. But
do you think, I know pints are like the standard, but do you think, maybe it's like a market issue, but would breweries ever like sell less than a pint or less than 12 ounce cans?
So this has happened.
Has it? Okay.
Upland Brewery did it within the last 10 years.
Like, the answer for something like that is buy, like, make a bomber. Because you
right.
should, because psychologically, you shouldn't
right.
drink the whole thing by, like, that indicates I'm not able to drink this all on my own.
Right.
Some people might.
Supposedly. Yeah.
Depending on the guy.
Yeah. 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 I'll finish what I was thinking, and yeah, then I'll move on. No, you. No, you're fine. I would just get out there. I would drink this whole can. This is really good. I would drink a pint of this easy, and it would go okay. down too easy. This is really tasty, and it's 4.2%, so it's not crazy. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Upland Brewery, I don't think it was with Teddy Bear Kisses, which is kind of their like winter stout that they do yeah. now. I think it was a bigger Russian Imperial that they were doing for a little while that maybe they stopped brewing. So I'm pretty sure it was Upland, but they were doing it where it was, maybe it was TBK. I'm not 100% sure, but they released like one of their first times, at least releasing in like cans. It was 8 ounce cans. And they released it everywhere. And it was like, I thought it was awesome just because, like, it's a really good idea, really good. I mean, one, you hit the price point you want, because, I mean, now with today's landscape where people are paying 20, 30 bucks for four packs, not as much of an issue for craft right. beer drinkers. Mm-hmm. But back then, especially where it's like, hey, we're trying to keep this under 15, but we're putting into four pack cans, like, in 12 ounces would definitely push us over this edge. Let's do these 8 ounce cans that are more like the little, like, Schweppes ginger ale cans
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really good size, and I think it's a really good idea.
Very appropriate for higher gravities.
Yeah, it'd be cool if more breweries did it. But at the same time, I think the marketing and the shelf, it just being there, on it's just a tough sell.
Right.
Like, it's well thought out. It's the way that I think a lot of things should be done.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense,
yeah.
especially when you're doing that. Especially so that you know, what is that, 32 ounces, which is about a bomber. I guess bombers usually 750s, or I guess a bomber is technically 22 ounces. 750s, that's more like 26 ounces or something yeah. like that. And then there's a 32 ounce above that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's around there. But so you can split it up four times. Right. So you're like, oh, I don't have to house this whole beer tonight.
Yeah.
I can split this into four nights if I want to. Yeah. And I think that's a really good idea. And I think it'd be cool if more places did it. But sitting on the shelf, just looking like a tiny can, like, people just, it's a tough jump for people.
Yeah, there's sadly. Like just a really weird marketing sweet spot where it's like, you don't want to sell too much because then it's like, well, for certain people, it's like, well, I don't want to drink all that. So now I got to like let it sit and wait. maybe I just shouldn't buy it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to create like too small of a package, because then it's like, well, with beer and alcohol, it's like I got to have more.
Right. Right.
So that would be a really tough sell. I think it makes sense, though. It just maybe for like very limited series and depending on like how the shelving is done.
Right.
At the store. Like these are our like high proof or high gravity.
Whatever. If there were a bunch of them, you could put them all in the same section.
Yeah. Like this is like the 12% plus or the 10% plus. Probably 12, but point being.
It's just our.
Not many people sell that kind of stuff.
Right. It's just our idiot brains not being able to comprehend things or like take that into consideration.
Right.
But like it's. Especially with so much domination of, I mean, even selling now, like even if you're selling high gravity stouts in a 4-pack 12-ounce, people are, it's still a little bit of a tougher sell. Like luckily, Untitled Art kind of has some cachet in our area. Same with Humble Forager. Yep. And those are the ones who are doing that where it's like, hey, yeah, it's a $20 4-pack and it's a 12-ounce, but this is like a really good stout that's going to knock you out. Like, and it's going to have really good flavor in it.
That but is true still, credibility.
Like, right. Like if you're, it's kind of where if you're doing 12-ounce cans, it needs to be a 6-pack or something.
Yeah.
Just from the marketability and from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Evidenced in our store.
Yeah.
We're sponsored this week by Kerr Design Studio. Kerr Design Studio is a full-service design studio based in South Bend, Indiana, specializing in the food and beverage space. From branding to website and package design, Kerr Design Studio can help build an image for your brand from the ground up that will leave lasting impressions while incorporating your personalized style. Their past clients include Crooked U Brewery, Pink Lemonade Pastries, and Iron Hand Vineyard, just to name a few. There are a lot more if you go to their website. So go to kerrdesignstudio.com or find them on Instagram at kerrdesignstudio. That's K-E-U-R Design Studio to learn more.
All right. We are back from that beautifully read ad by Dan. I paused because I thought I said something else for like a half second. I don't know what that would mean. But anyways, we're back.
Professional voice reading things.
You heard it here, folks, first.
John, not a professional voice reading.
There's
person.
A reason why you read it and not me. All right, we're back.
All right, so we're kicking back in. And like I said, this back half of the show, so I guess we got in a little bit of the soury smoothie, even though the first one wasn't a smoothie, just a souriness on the last one with a Rar Warp whistle. That was just a watermelon goza. Now we are getting into the smoothie sour section, the diabetes section of the show.
Yep.
Full type 2 daddies over here. So oh, the first one that we're going to be drinking, this is from Dewey Beer Company. They are out of Milton, Delaware. Exciting.
That's a really cool looking can too.
It is a cool can. They have this is a series. I believe we have 3 or 4 of them right now that we just got in. It's Dewey Beer. This is their Secret Machine series. And this one we're drinking today is Raspberry Almond Cookie.
Oh, shut up and take my
I thought
my
it
money.
Sounded interesting.
Shut up and take my pancreas.
Yeah. Shut up and take me to CVS so I can buy socks that help with my blood flow.
Oh, no.
That's what those, that's there's relatable. Like, those are those kind of socks, right? Is that what they're for, right? For like,
once upon a time, those... I had to do that.
Oh, you did, when you had
not,
your...
Not for diabetes, though. For chronic swelling. Which I still actually have, but I don't wear socks for that anymore.
You just wear Spanx instead. It's all hidden.
I think these are Levi's. I'm actually, ironically, not even wearing socks, period.
Spanx jeans. Now it would be a thing where you wear the jeans, but it actually has the tight coating underneath, so it just like forms your whole body. That's a thing.
I would probably have a... No, I wouldn't.
I don't know how the Spanx don't have, I mean, because people know they exist. It, like, Spanx, I feel like, aren't a secret anymore. It's like people like, hey, if you need to wear this, wear it, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why they aren't doing more commercials for them. I don't know at the end there isn't somebody just going like, thanks, Spanx. Like, it's not like a big, like free money right there for them to do their commercial. Like, why isn't that a thing yet? Like, I feel like that should be, like, that is something that they could do on the level where it's like, lean into the cheesiness of it, and that could be a meme. Like, they could, like, lean into the stupid, and that's fine, because we're going to make a meme out of it.
Yeah, like, they know that the meme is, like, they have the hindsight to know it's going to be a meme, and that's free ads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. By the way, we're a marketing firm, in case anyone was wondering.
We actually contract with McKinsey and we only work the Spanx account. So that's how this works.
Yeah, that's why we're able to afford 6 pints.
We're able to afford 6 pints of beer each week. Sometimes one has to be a 12-ounce just in case we're hitting the budget.
Yeah.
Just in case that McKinsey military contract didn't come through that week for when we send Spanx overseas to our boys in the military.
I'm kind of like hearing, have you seen the last episode of She-Hulk at all?
I was going to talk to you about She-Hulk because we do usually talk about media stuff after the show. But I hadn't watched any. I finished Ms. Marvel and then I just watched the first episode of She-Hulk last night.
Oh, okay.
And I really liked it. I loved it. I thought it was really good.
I think it's great. It's right on character. It's actually like to the comics.
I love the original She-Hulk series. I think, was it Mark Waid? I forget who wrote that. But like the original first run who kind of like originated. I mean,
he's the one who broke the fourth wall.
Right. Yeah. It didn't like originate the character like She-Hulk's existed, but like in the new current, like.
Yes.
Yossified She-Hulk that is Mark, like occurring
Mark Waid
going
is
on
the
right
one
now.
Who's yes his stuff is what this was ripped off of.
I believe Mark Waid actually lives in Muncie, Indiana, if he's the one I'm thinking of correctly.
That?
There is like a
I think Variant Comics talked about that one.
I'm pretty sure it's Mark Waid, but yeah, there is a famous, like, writes a lot of really really great comic books, like lives just, I mean, that's the dream I feel like for a lot of people, not living in Muncie, Indiana, but just like
having a timeshare in Muncie, Indiana.
Right on the
like Jerry,
whatever river that's there. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Got to be on the Delaware River.
More like creek.
Maybe.
Speaking of Delaware,
hey, it's a full river, sir. Don't talk about Muncie with me. I've ran on that Greenway.
We have few rivers here.
Yes, not a single river in South Bend, named for the South Bend in the St. Joseph River.
We had a joke about that with my in-laws recently, where it's like, why is the infrastructure, like the city planning so weird? It's like, well, we are on a bend of the river.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yeah, that's why everything's like diagonal. It's
right.
Like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's funny growing up and finally like thinking of infrastructure and thinking of like realizing like how every major city in like the U.S., like, I don't know, for there's like a click in your mind when you just like finally realize that you're just like, oh, it's because that's how things got around and shipping occurred and things like that. And it was just like, oh, yeah, like every major city is like on a lake or a river or something, because like that is how things,
that's how they got their
transport.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Or like why the entire city of like, is it Cairo, Egypt? Like the one major like city is on the Nile River or whatever. It's like, that's because that's where the water
right,
is.
Right. Exactly. It's like, well, they built, there's one that have this nice like river. It's like, no, this is like for a reason.
That's how people live.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm almost done with my share of this beer, by the way.
This is very good. Yeah. I was hoping for maybe more almond cookie. I don't know exactly what I expect from almond cookie. I don't know exactly what is an almond cookie? Like a windmill cookie kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Is it
like, I'm thinking, I'm sniffing
it. Almond or I think it's almond and nutmeg,
something like that. Yeah. Cause there is a little more like cinnamony or nutmeg in an almond in a windmill cookie like that.
Yeah.
And maybe I think of, is there almond extract in macarons, in like a traditional macaron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cause that's what if that's accurate, then that's what I really smell. I don't really get any on the flavor in the almond cookie. I get a lot more like the raspberry, like the almond cookie, maybe like smooths out as like a sweetness, but on the nose I get like big macaron.
It kind of is like who was the tasting that was there recently at Citywide?
Hoplore.
So they're one with like, they're sour with all of the crazy like strawberry whatnot,
and then it has like fruit pizza sour.
Yeah, and there's like cream cheese in it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is like the equivalent as far as like flavor structure goes, where it's like the raspberry is like what gives it its like sweetness and its tartness, and the almond is really only there to hold it all in. Otherwise, it probably would be like a sour and not a smoothie. But with that being said, I love this beer. Like, this is kind of what
it's
defines
really nice.
Why I like weird beers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I don't know. It's exactly how it's advertised. But I
like
that you said macaron, because it does taste like a melted macaroon to me, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this is 11 macaroon.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Melted.
Right.
Even though you can't really melt macaroons.
Right.
They get lit on fire if you try to melt it.
That sounds about right. Yeah. try melting bread. See how that works.
Yeah, it turns into beer, right?
Yeah, it's a good time. You know, after I like finish my glass and I'm like sniffing this cup, it really get like icing vibes too. Like
right.
Like those like very yeah.
Amarillo. Is that
what did you say to me?
No, like isn't that the almond flavor? Like it smells like the Amarillo, like alcoholic almond syrup.
Amaretto.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, for sure.
They sound so similar. Take the L's out and replace it with T's.
It's so funny. I feel like amaretto, I will say. Amaretto is delicious. Amaretto is just really, yeah, it tastes like almond cookies. It's such a really good, like, you can see why. It's fun to do shots of around Christmas time because it just, like, tastes like sweet cookies.
Right.
And it's a fun shot to do without being overly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's funny to me when there is, like, you see those commercials when you're young always of like DiZerono and like they see like, oh yeah, the person's ordering like DiZerono on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And like now knowing everything I know about alcohol and like being, you know, like being a mid 30 year old, I mean, seeing some, if I saw somebody order a DiZerono on the rocks, like I would call the police. Like I would be like jail now. Like who is ordering that, you freak? Like who is that? Or it's just like, you, do you just want me to give you some sugar in a glass? Like,
yeah.
You weirdo. Like,
talk about diabetes.
I mean, shows what they were doing with the marketing. Like, clearly it doesn't, that marketing doesn't happen anymore, but it's funny. And like, how much DiZerona did they sell? But like making this like fancy amaretto liqueur or whatever,
yeah.
Which is like that is a weird, like that would be an extremely weird order. I feel like, I think the only people who would maybe still order that are like only at like cougar bars. Like you're like 65 and up. You're like, yes, I'll have a DiZerona on the rocks.
Right.
Like, okay. Like, sure, I'll sell you this,
are
like,
you from the 90s?
Weirdly expensive liqueur that I can charge a good amount more. Sure, like, on the rocks for you. I mean, I'm sure it tastes really good.
Right.
By itself. Because amarettos do. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that being, it's a weird drink order.
What, like, Dan is basically saying is that if you want to do it in your house.
DiZerono behind closed doors. Yes. Please do that. Yes. Don't let me catch you DiZeronoing.
There's
not me, DiZerono.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
don't let Dan catch you. I can just see it on a t-shirt now. You're like pointing at them. Don't he catch you.
DiZerono don't.
Yeah.
DiZerono no.
Like Nintendo don't.
Yes, exactly.
All right, next up.
Next one we're drinking right now. So this is this is Claim 52. We're drinking Weekend Whip, and so I don't know if Weekend Whip is a series. But I believe so, because it's Weekend Whip Singapore Sling. I had one this last week, actually, from this brewery, from Claim 52. And I had one that was a blackberry churro waffles, and it was actually really good. Again,
ooh,
like a really good fest beer. Like I said, it was like it tasted exactly like everything I said, but it sounds really good. So, yes, like it says, this is Claim 52, they are from Eugene, Oregon, wherever that is.
Kath and I almost plan on stopping by Eugene, Oregon, actually.
Well.
But we're not anymore.
That's good.
Because we're staying in Seattle instead of doing the whole West Coast trip.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, context. Our pre-planned West Coast trip, which is now just a Seattle trip.
Just Seattle.
We were so planning on doing.
We're doing 4 days at Microsoft home base, so you gotta.
More like gotta 7 days, but yeah. And Amazon.
Yeah.
And Valve.
Staying at the Amazon factory. Now, Valve would be cool, though.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Actually, my father-in-law said, like, if you want, like, a good 2 hours or 1 hour of, like, just people watching, he said, just hang out in the Amazon lobby and just, like, watch people go in and out, because he said there's a lot of, like, I mean, he's from like corporate America context too.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like watching people wearing like just like jeggings and bringing like their giant mastiff in through the lobby.
Oh, it's
just insane.
Just some of the worst people in the world.
With a pumpkin spice latte.
I mean, if you're running Amazon, you probably are. But let's see.
Hey-o.
So I'm trying to look up what fruit is in this because it doesn't say specifically, but I will find it. So like I said, this is the Weekend Whip, the Singapore Sling, and I'm trying to see what exactly that entails, what makes
fruit from bottom. That's just how to...
Right. It tells you exactly how to drink it, but doesn't...
Well, I saw the fruit part, so I was trying to read around it.
Right.
But, yeah, doesn't say anything. Keep cold and fresh.
Let's see. I wonder if Singapore Sling is a kind of a cocktail. So maybe I should look that up too.
Like, because I'm seeing Singapore Sling.
Because when I type in Singapore Sling, like lots of different breweries seem to have made a beer with that name. So I think that it might be a cocktail, which I'll look up after this for sure.
Getting cherry and strawberry.
There it is. And okay, so here, maybe we've taken the classic Singapore Sling, a favorite of Ernest Hemingway, spelled Ernest incorrectly, spelled it like someone being Ernest, not the name Ernest, not Ernest Scared Stupid, and reimagined it as a fruited sour, a refreshing proto-tiki drink, both sweet and tart, perfect for a warm summer evening. Yep. Doesn't tell me what's in it. So let's see what's in a Singapore Sling. We're going to go to look that up as well.
Now that you said that, it's totally 100% pineapple, but I don't know where the red comes from. Like, I just, yeah, I took another sip. I'm like, that is totally 100% pineapple.
Singapore Sling is a cocktail made from gin and cherry brandy.
Whoa.
So that's where you're getting your cherry.
Right.
And I could see, like, maybe pineapple would be good for, if it is tiki-esque or whatever, like, they could, maybe there's some in certain versions of it, or it could just be a accoutrement to, like... throw a slice on top of it just to...
Oh, like a little garnish thing.
Make a woman at a resort think she's getting her money's worth on a free drink.
Because it's all-inclusive.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Got to get every ounce of that out.
Right, here's your dollar, sir. Thank you for making that for me. Gin-based cocktail from Singapore. This long drink was developed sometime... I don't give a crap. I'm looking for good ingredient recipes. This is a struggle. Liquor.com. I don't trust them. They sound wild. We'll go with Spruce Eats. I think Spruce Eats is usually pretty solid. Sometimes when I'm like recipe hunting, like they're usually like better than All Recipes. I hear if you really go in all in on All Recipes, like it can be a really good resource for you, but their website just looks too like web 1.0.
I use a recipe from All Recipe and it's very ad heavy. Like I lose a good amount of percentage on my phone because generating.
Oh yeah.
So
the website.
Ads.
Yeah. I hear they have a really good app that you can like load your like your fridge and your like everything into it, and it'll tell you like give you ideas
what you
of what to
make.
Which like is that
they do pantry recipes?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like if you go all in on it, that's really cool. And I like things that do that, but also that would take me taking that time.
Yeah,
do that crap.
My honey garlic sauce that I make from that website is probably one of my favorite sauces I've ever made. But again, every time I pull it up, it like drains 10% of my battery.
Right. That's another step of becoming an adult is having a like a bookmarks folder for like favorite recipes.
I bookmarked that recipe. Yeah.
You're just like, here's my folder of all my favorite recipes. And here's where I go. When especially because, it's really a problem when you find a good recipe and then you can't because this only happens.
Find it again.
You only do that after you like can't find that recipe. You're like,
that's literally
where is it?
You're literally defining my story for this recipe.
It's a struggle.
It's so bad because then you got to get super specific. Look for like, okay, what link did I click on?
Right.
Because it's not blue anymore. It's not purple. So I clicked on it. It's like, all right, well, no, that's the one I mistaken to be the original recipe. So that's not right. Yeah, it's awful. So I bookmarked it.
Yeah, I had to do that with my vegan Alfredo sauce because I like didn't save it the first time. And it was like one of the best recipes I've ever had in my life. And I'm like, it took me like a day of Googling to like find the original one that I had gone to, and now I have it saved, and I have it like screenshotted and saved onto my desktop because I'm like,
just in case
I need this recipe.
Yeah,
I make it all the time because it's really good for not just like pasta, but I use it on like salad dressing and stuff too.
Oh yeah,
it's just like it's so good.
Alfredo sauce is like a dressing is actually like
good. It's really good, and since it's like especially you do silken tofu, like so there's no because there's no dairy in it.
Yeah,
so it's like that. Oh man, it's. It's really, I'll have to send you the recipe.
Yeah.
I'll post the recipe in these comments
in the comment section down below.
Here. Yeah. Because it is really, really good. I feel like it's really easy to make if you have a food processor. It takes like 15 minutes. Just like, cause it's just dumping stuff and grinding it all together basically, but it's really good. I use it all the time. It's a problem for me, but it's bad when I don't have it.
I feel that way about my honey garlic sauce. Like, I'll make like a good 12 ounce bottle of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're only supposed to do like 2 tablespoons of it.
Right.
Because it is like mostly honey.
Mm-hmm.
But after I like make all my food and I put like the amount on there, I'm like, that's not enough. I just dump it all.
Let's drizzle a little lot more. Yeah.
Yeah. Please. A little lot more.
Claim 52, Weekend Whip, Singapore Sling. After we figured out what it was, I did find it. I wasn't too far off. I mean, in general. So what the Spruce Eats was telling me, so it's gin, Benedictine liquor, liqueur, which I forget what's in Benedictine,
yeah,
cherry liqueur, lime juice, simple syrup, blah, 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 other stuff that doesn't need to be named. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It literally does taste like, speaking to all this, it does taste like I could take like crushed ice and like pour this on top.
This is really good.
It's super good.
Yeah.
I would drink this by a pool.
Yeah. It's not complex.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Right.
Like, I don't really need the complexity right now. I'm just really enjoying the flavor that it is.
Yeah.
Like, these are the kind of beverages that I wouldn't order at a bar because it would taste too good. I would just drink it too fast.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, that tastes like nothing. I'm sure even if you did have this with gin and Benedictine, you'd be like, whatever, don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I mean, it would be the showing of a well-made cocktail.
Right.
And yeah, something that I would order if I was at an all-inclusive resort, because I don't care what it costs, because mm-hmm. because it's all-inclusive.
It's all-inclusive.
And I'm not worried about that. So
yeah.
Because it's like, well, if I'm paying 10 bucks for a good cocktail, like, I need the most bit. Just give me like a whole glass of Malort, because I'm just going to drink it really slowly.
Yeah, this is super good. I could totally see this.
Yeah.
Ordering this at, yeah, in Florida on a beachside, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just like killing the day.
Yeah.
Reading a book, whatever.
Or reading some Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
Reading the novelization of Ernest.
No, reading Ernest,
E-A-R-N-E-S-T,
Hemingway.
Right.
And it's just a parody on Ernest Hemingway.
Right. Yeah. Name one Ernest Hemingway book.
I
just had to like think of it for like 3 minutes. A Call to Arms is the only one I could think of. But otherwise, I was just like, I just know Ernest Hemingway because he has a compound. He had a compound in Florida, and that's where all the six-toed cats are. That's all.
Okay.
I know. And as somebody's just like, I actually Call to Arms is someone else. I'm not 100% sure. I'm about 75% sure that's him, but I'm not sure. One of the great American authors of ever. I can't think of any works by him, but. I'll just conflate him with Sean Connery's character in Finding Forrester. And that's what I will think. That's what I will always think of Ernest Hemingway as.
I know the only relation I've ever had with Ernest Hemingway, I think he had a house in Culver, Indiana.
Really?
I know it was a famous author, had a house. Hmm. I know this because I stayed at that house randomly one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time and only time I've ever been like blackout drunk before, and I regretted like every minute of it thereafter. I look fondly on that trip.
It was an old house, and it was like the house, the author was whoever wrote.
I'm pretty sure it's Ernest Hemingway had that house, and it like overlooked a lake. It was super cool.
The lake in Culver, the Lake Maxincuckee, like one of the larger lakes in
Indiana. And like the evening that it happened for me, that was. So I refer to me accidentally having like several of those like Belgian double, triple, beers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was that night. And that was the same night when I had all those that Kath decided to stay like, comparatively speaking, like crazy sober. And I say crazy sober like she was the only one who was sober that night.
Right.
And so she hammed it up and told everyone like, hey, guys, wouldn't it be really funny if we like jumped in the lake? And everyone was like, whoa, you're like crazy. Who would do that? And she's like, uh-huh. Like she was.
You
just,
would, because you're crazy.
Yeah,
you would do that.
I did not. I did not do that, though, because apparently I was being too busy being aggressively nice to someone saying that they should like quit their job because they don't like it. And I don't remember that like at all.
That's par for the course, though.
Yeah.
Everyone should quit their jobs.
Yep.
Unless you like your job. But otherwise, quit. Everywhere's hiring right now.
That is true.
We clearly only talk about beer on this podcast, as we talked about beer for about 10 minutes of each podcast.
That's true.
But hey, everywhere's hiring.
We're a beer podcast that don't talk about beer.
Right.
Yeah. So go find a job.
quit the podcast that you're on right now. Oh, all right, I'm gone. Bye. All right, I gotta go.
Yep. All right. Bye, fam. Yeah, that was a fun night. People in that group, though, fondly remember me being all elusive the next morning, though. Like everyone said, I did not see you leave. And I was like, good, because I was wrecked that next morning.
Like, did I leave? I guess Kath was sober, so you were fine. So.
She was, yeah. And we had a very long conversation on the drive back home about it.
Did you didn't remember the conversation?
Yeah, I do. I remember sitting like very like white knuckled on the chair because I was so nervous I was going to like throw up in the middle of our trip back home while I was like trying to have a very like sustainable conversation about why that was not good that I did that.
You're doing too much. You got on these nights of too much alcohol. You need to just be like, this is what it is currently. We'll talk about this tomorrow if we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Which we shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Do you know the person who owns the house, or they were renting it, or what?
So the connection was that so Jacob Titus, West SB, he was like writing blogs on there like a little bit more. Well, I say this, I don't. Jake can correct me, whatever. And he probably would. That like the blog postings were a lot more consistent. And the person who actually like owned the house to rent out wanted to like pitch us or him staying there for like the weekend to like experience it and write about it, which I think he did. He did end up writing about it. But because he didn't want to be there by himself, like the whole time, he invited like a whole crew.
Didn't want to stay in a haunted mansion on a lake for,
it was actually a really cool building.
Yeah, I'm sure that is like, I've only been to one house on that lake and it was really, really nice. Cause that's a nice lake. And I've looked, cause me and Caitlin have thought about like lake house living and whatnot. And just like, even the junkiest houses on that lake are like 250 and up. It's not a cheap place. Like, I just say that to say a lot of those houses over there are really nice.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up where to find that house, but it was cool. House, it was really cool. The kitchen was crazy, crazy awesome. The lake was beautiful. There was like a really old record player that I messed with like a ton.
That sounds like you.
That was back. I know, that was back when our dog was still really struggling with like separation anxiety. So we brought him with and everyone loved him.
Oh, he's the best.
He is the best. Yeah. So on and so forth. It was great.
All right, so John did the research, and he's going to tell you what this house is called.
It is called the Vonnegut House in Culver, Indiana, so not Ernest Hemingway.
Not Hemingway. This is right, Vonnegut. This is from John Vonnegut, JK. It's Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt, you know, Vonnegut. You're familiar with this very old Indiana author.
Yep.
Author of Slaughterhouse-Five.
Had a cool house.
If anyone, if you were like me and you're interested in the classics but didn't read the classics, I would recommend renting from the library, because that's where I got it, from the South Bend Library, the Slaughterhouse-Five. There's a comic book version of it, and it's very good, and it's interesting. Because cool. I have no, you know, some of those, all those classics, you don't even know what they're really about or anything, and this is, it's apparently about the war. War. I don't remember. Is it World War II? Is it Korea? I don't exactly remember. War. Clearly, I didn't pay that much attention to it, but it is about one of those wars, and it's a really interesting
book. Maybe
it's a
war against yourself. Your inner turmoil. Man versus self.
That's
no, it's about the war.
That's one of the tropes. It's about a war. It's about a war. How about that? Mm-hmm. The war in your mind. That is man versus self. So the next beer that we're drinking this week.
Last beer.
I just want to wrap up that last one. Claim 52. Really, really great beer.
Super
that was
good
nice.
Beer. Big fan.
Like I mentioned before, the blueberry, one of those churro waffles one was really good as well from that same brewery. And I didn't even buy that one for our store because I thought that was flavor sounded crazy. And I only have X amount of dollars to spend on beers that we bring in. I can't, you know, buy all of them.
Right.
So I had to pick and choose two or three of them. But that one is really good. You can get it at a hop station. I will advertise them because that's where I got it. And it was really tasty. So this next one that we're drinking, this is from a brewery called Mortalis. This is kind of like the most sought after beer that we have that we're drinking tonight.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mortalis is a very popular smoothie sour brewery. They've come and gone in the state before where there's a brewery in Indy called A Tap Room, and they do a really cool thing where every month is a different brewery that they kind of run this tap room effectively, where one person runs this tap room, but then they'll just bring in like a tap takeover effectively, where it's like, oh, Windmill's running this brewery this weekend. Cool. So it's like 10 taps or whatever. And it's like, hey, we're a Windmill tap, you know, we're a Windmill brewery this weekend or this month. Mm-hmm. We're an X. So one month they did Mortalis. And I was like, how did that come in the state? Why didn't I get any? Just because I want to have the stuff, but it all went to this one place. So it's cool. That's great. So now it's back in the state finally. And I was excited to get some. But yeah, like I said, tough to get stuff. So it's fun because after we drink all these other ones, we'll be able to compare what this is compared to those other ones and see how much the hype is about, because I have never had anything from them before.
I've never heard of them.
I'm excited to drink it. So Mortalis is in Avon, New York, not Avon, Indiana, and not the Avon company. And also, so this one is a collaboration with Heavy Real Brewing Company, one that I hadn't heard of either until we actually got a couple of their beers that are in available as well right now. Okay. I don't know where they're from, but so Mortalis has a beer called Hydra, and I think it's a series of beers with like Hydra and there's like three different fruits in it or something like that. And then also Heavy Real has a beer called Thick, Thyyk. and that is a different, those are both smoothie sours. So this one is actually Mortalis and Heavy Real. This is called Thick Hydra. So it's like a combo of those beers.
Dang.
And this is brewed with passion fruit, mango, blackberry, and funnel cake.
Oh.
So.
Good grief. Okay.
Let the beatus commence.
Yep. This is where. Diabetes.
This is where daddy went to the 4-H fair and passed out from sugar intake.
Yep.
The 4-H fair is something that I did not really know.
Chocolate covered bacon.
Well, yeah,
was like my favorite thing when I went to a Wisconsin 4-H club thing.
Oh man, I would just be like cheese life if I was in Wisconsin. You're just like everything.
Oh, they
cheese.
Had it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, deep fried curds.
Oh yeah,
all over the place. But my experience from practically living there at one point in my life, I didn't actually, but one of my closest friends who I call my brother Josiah, shout out to him. Lives in Minneapolis now, St. Paul.
Mm.
Is
that whose wedding you went to weekends ago?
No, that was John Gary.
Okay.
No, John I Gary, actually John thought Ross. About reaching out to Josiah, but I didn't. But anyways.
Hey, Josiah, guess what? John was in your state. He was in your city.
I didn't even like text him.
And he didn't text you.
Yo, that smells so good.
This beer, like, one thing I will say just off the bat, just from the smell, like, it smells more complex than anything else we've ever drank.
Holy.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite that we've drank.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite.
But it's really good.
But I think the complexity of it.
Right.
Like saying funnel cake is.
It's something to chew on for sure.
Spot on.
Because there's lots, like I said, there's lots of different flavors on it. There's three different fruits and funnel cake.
Yeah. I was really trying to figure out why passion fruit and mango. Blackberry's clearly like the accented fruit that they're like trying to say, like it's funnel cake with blackberry.
I feel like blackberry provides a nice like bitterness too,
right?
Like the
from all the sweetness,
blackberry.
Yeah. But I'm like, man, mango and passion fruit, where's that going to come in? And I think it's meant to like work with the funnel cake.
Mm-hmm. I don't get a ton of the mango. Wasn't trying to sound like the mango character from SNL. I don't get a ton of the mango, but. I don't even really know what passion fruit tastes like.
It's a pretty, I would say the tartness that you're feeling, like blackberry sour. Like if it's ripe enough, it's not really like tart, like pucker up, like you're feeling like the back of your throat's really, I don't know what the word is for it.
It's called an allergy.
like you're getting TSJ or something like that from it.
What?
You know?
What is TSJ?
Like when you're...
TMJ?
TMJ, excuse me. TMJ. Like, you know, you're just like getting lockjaw from like how tart it is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's not what Blackberry does if it's ripe enough.
Right, right.
Passion fruit, though, does that.
Okay. Like it's passion fruit sour, tea, like sour depth.
Like it is sour. Okay. Yeah. Like it's not even a flavor. It's just sour.
Like I feel like I've had it as like an ancillary flavor in lots of different beverages and whatnot. Passion fruit tea, passion fruit, blah, blah, blah. But
passion fruit tea is like the... Like, if I want to say, if you want to know how, like, real passion fruit tastes like, it's the tea.
I just need to, like, buy a passion fruit. Can you buy a passion fruit at, like, Whole Foods or something?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go to Fresh Thyme. Yeah. I'm not supporting that Bezos. But otherwise, Okay, cool. Somewhere like that. I'm sure whoever is the CEO of Fresh Thyme is clearly TSJ. A good person. But, okay,
If you want actual TSJ.
If I'm trying to TSJ.
TMJ.
Yeah, without having to go to the hospital, then I'll... Okay, cool. I need to buy a passion fruit just so I need to try it. I think we've talked about it before.
You eat passion fruit straight. I mean, you just eat it.
Like it's a crime?
No. I don't know how
you... I don't know how you could eat
like, passion fruit. Like, do you peel it or do you like slice
it? I don't know. I've never messed with those. I have... I will tell everybody this. Anyone who's like trying to do like any kind of vegan food and you want to make your own jackfruit, like barbecue jackfruit tacos kind of thing, it's really, really good. Restaurants do it. Do not ever buy a jackfruit and do it.
Buy frozen.
You buy frozen or buy that. You should really buy the cans of like young jackfruit that they sell at Asian grocery stores.
Oh,
because then it's not ripe. It's young, so it's like very unripened, and that's what you want because jackfruit's super sweet. Jackfruit's almost like flavor wise is like banana mango flavor. And you definitely, because one, if you buy a fresh jackfruit, one, it's not going to be that fresh. I mean, it's going to be fresh-ish, but it's going to be like pretty ripe. So it's already going to have a lot of sweetness. So if you're making those things, you more want the texture than the sweetness. Because you don't want like banana barbecue tacos.
Right.
Because that's the flavor that you're going to get if you like make your own. It's just, and also it sucks to break down. There is so many like seeds and detritus. Just like junk, it like husks that you're peeling off of it.
That's so interesting. Like, who looked at jackfruit and thought, like, through all of that, what you're saying, like breaking down, like, who thought, don't worry, it's worth it.
Right.
We're going to keep going. We're going to trudge through.
I mean, I think it was really good. You can get good flavor out of the fruit. It wasn't terrible if I was just wanting to eat it as a fruit. But I was trying to do it, and I was trying to make, like, the barbecue for tacos with it.
Right.
And that was terrible just because it had already, like, blossomed into its own fruit.
Oh.
Like, think of it like if you buy the young jackfruit in the cans, that's a lot better, and that's going to be a lot more – like, think of that as, like a bright green plantain versus, like, a ripe yellow banana where it's, like, that's going to be good. It's a lot more starchy. It's a lot – it holds its form a lot better. So mm-hmm. then you can, and it's also – the flavor isn't really there. Flavor hasn't developed yet.
So you're really looking for the undeveloped flavor.
You're looking for the texture because then you're going to add the flavors with like barbecue sauce and like spiced chili powder and those kinds of things to make like a barbecue flavor.
Right.
I mean, jackfruit tastes good. If you want a fruit, buy it, break it down. It tastes pretty good. It's a little bit of a bitch to break down, but it's good.
Yeah.
But that being said,
like, gotta break it down.
Yeah. Dried jackfruit.
They really got to tell her off.
Right. Let me break this jackfruit down for you.
Yeah.
So it is, you know.
Hip hop.
Yes. It took me a long time to do, like, it was just a process that unless you really want to do it once.
Just not worth it.
Like, maybe if I'm looking for fresh jackfruit, it's worth it.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying in the process of if I'm trying to make these, like, fake barbecue things.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, playing devil's advocate, it takes forever to smoke a brisket. So why wouldn't it take you forever to break down a jackfruit?
So
if you want the full experience?
Well, no. So what I'm saying is
totally having fun with that.
No, I don't have a problem with the breaking down aspect, which sucks. I have a problem with I doubt you're going to find a young enough jackfruit stateside that will still achieve the goals you're attempting to achieve if you're making a vegan barbecue with it.
You're saying timing wise, it's not practical.
Correct.
Like on a developmental
because it's
standpoint.
Probably already once it hits our states,
right,
it's probably already ripe enough to eat,
right,
which tastes great. Eat it. Tastes good. Like I said, like banana mango flavor, sure.
Yeah, but if you're gonna take that and then make a barbecue out of it, it's like, okay, well, do you want the banana flavor as well?
Right, exactly.
It's like, no, I want meat.
Right, it's like too sweet, too juicy,
right,
all that stuff.
Yeah,
by the young jackfruit. Mm-hmm. Canned, drainable jackfruit.
Mm-hmm. That's and what I'm saying. And the funnel cake.
That, and the funnel cake, yes. Passion fruit.
Yeah. I think I've finished my glass before you on every single cup this week.
Probably because I'm talking my ass off over here. I just
about
can't,
jackfruit.
I,
and...
I drank like half of a can of cold brew before, like between leaving Citywide and coming here. So within 5 minutes, just like, which is effectively cocaine. Like, just like that's what it does to your brain.
I can't
just
do
like
that. Makes you... Man.
I usually don't. Yeah. I just hadn't. Usually I have coffee later in the day.
Yeah.
Usually between 6 and 7, I'll have coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hadn't had it tonight. I was like, shoot, I need something.
Yeah.
And so I drank that and. It's a problem.
Yeah. All I did was figure out how to develop a Squarespace website while watching a guy commentate on video games. So
that's,
so I'm very like,
that'll
chill.
Work your brain up too. Yeah. That sounds like it'll work your brain to make you tired more.
Oh yeah. Came in very, very relaxed.
I came in basically asleep. I don't know how I'm here.
Yes.
All that being said.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's very good though. Like, I would say my favorite is still, as far as like the smoothie side of stuff, would be, is it Dewey's? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay. Not TSJ.
Right.
I think that was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate this one a lot though, because I'm very big on like Dewey's is really good because it's like, it doesn't really say more than what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's this.
Right.
Whoa, this is this.
This is profound.
That's why I always called This Is Us whenever Kath was watching This Is Us. I'm like, this is profound. Because every time they speak, it sounds very dramatic.
Oh, yeah. That show is like dramatic camp. Like, it is very
to a T. So I'm like, it's a very profound show. Like, everything they say is just like startling to themselves. Right. Anyways, I guess what I'm trying to say is like Dewey's is like, it is what it is. It's very good. They're not like trying to riff off anything like this is a cheesecake, raspberry, almond, right, whatever right. thing. It's like, no, it's this,
mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate the funnel cake one. I keep saying funnel cake cause I can't remember the name of the brewery, but it's like very, it's kind of like what we say, how it's like, if it says it's going to be this, like, I
want
to
see those flavors.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be avocado in it.
Right.
I want the avocado.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So if there's funnel cake in it, I want funnel cake. And I think they nailed it.
Right.
I'm just not a big, like, that kind of deep fried 4-H camp food. Right. Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm separating the things we've drank tonight because I think my favorite thing we drank tonight was the cold IPA, but I'm putting that in a separate area where I also, if we're going from the back half of like the sours, like I think I like Warp Whistle the best.
Warp Whistle was my favorite this week.
I think Warp Whistle, Singapore Sling was my second favorite.
Oh,
this
cool.
was my third favorite. I think Secret Machine was my fourth favorite. The Dewey, I think, it was my last place on favorite. That's still really good.
Like, yeah, this really is more of beer. A question of like, of all the good things on the lineup.
Right, I'm like, what do I want to drink more?
Yeah.
But I think I like this one a little better just because of the complexity of it. Like, I could chew on it a little bit, could think about it a little bit. I thought it was a little more smoothier, like it was a little thicker.
You could sit on it for a bit, like as far as enjoy.
As you said, I'm like sipper. Slowly drinking on it.
Yeah, it's your Malort.
Mm-hmm.
Not in an insulting way.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It is. I think it's the bitterness from the blackberry or whatever, where I can like... drink it, think about it,
yeah,
talk about it some more.
Yeah, I think Warp Whistle was like,
was so good. We're gonna be like challenging each other to get like the last sips of it when we're done with this podcast. We're like, this is so good.
No, it's insane.
It's kind of beer that's so good that I like wish I had more people here than just us, because I want to like share it.
Yeah,
like I feel like that
should be here.
Yeah, like, yes, exactly. Like, that is, I feel like, something in beer culture where annoyingly sometimes people want to share. I mean,
I do that with every can,
but I'm just like yeah, I'll have, yeah, every exactly can. Where I'm just drinking, but this is one that profoundly I'm drinking. I'm just like, I wish there was someone else I could be like, try this beer,
Kath,
see what you think of this. So good.
I would say Kath would enjoy it, like in the sense of she likes Gosas,
yeah,
but her big like I don't know about this whatever that means. Like, I don't know about this.
Right.
Is that she doesn't really like the idea of the funnel pastry or the funnel stout or the, sorry, funnel smoothie. That's what I wanted to say. She'd be like, but why funnel? Like
it's doing too much.
Like, can't you just like drink a beer?
That's not the purpose of this podcast.
Like, she should not be in the discussion that we normally, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Our discussions. Like, when we were doing the whole pre-production for the show, like way forever ago, when you brought in like those cereal beers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, she would probably look at that and be like, why?
Right. Right.
Yeah. But the, yeah, warp whistle, top. The Dewey's one, the machine beer, I think would be second. I'm a big sucker for raspberry, honestly. I think that's why I'm a huge sucker for raspberry.
And I wouldn't like, obviously this whole podcast is a no judgment zone.
Oh,
and
totally.
I feel like both of us have although that was my last place one, I think like it's
not bad.
There's very like, it's all just, I feel like a lot of these are all very good and they're all like personal preference.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, hey, like, yeah, you like raspberry a lot. So it's like perfect that you like raspberry for that one. Where I'm just like,
yeah, none of these are inherently bad.
No, I would recommend any of these to anybody.
Totally.
That's how I was talking to, like I said, we got like 80 new beers in. A lot of them are all smoothie sours. And I was talking to one of my coworkers tonight as I was picking these up. And he was just, somebody came in and they were like asking like recommendations. And I was like having a lot of trouble. And I'm just like, for these specific like new ones that came in or whatever. And I'm like, it's tough because like I don't even have recommendations to give. Now I do because I've drank some of these. I can say this is really good. This is just like,
yeah,
this is like, I can point to ones that I really like. But otherwise, it's all personal preference. I'm like, read the can and figure like, see what's in it. Like,
yeah,
do I like raspberry almond or do I like blackberry funnel cake? Like which of these sounds better? Because you're going to get those flavors and all of them. They're all like of equal. They're all on a similar plane.
Right.
But it just depends on what flavors hit your palate better.
Yeah. I'm really glad we tried the watermelon gosa because, like, traditionally, I do not like gosas at all.
Yeah.
You're like,
not a salty man.
I'm very full of not salt. I'm not salt of the earth.
I am lacking sodium.
No, I'm not lacking sodium. That's for sure. But like, I just don't, and I love watermelon like as a flavor, which sounds really weird because most of watermelon are like super artificial. Because watermelon tastes like water.
And melon.
Yeah. they're sweeter. But yeah, I'm really glad. Like, honestly, I kind of want to pick up like two of these. And it's so good.
Yeah. If it's still, I mean, I don't think I'm not announcing anything until like Thursday on social media of this week, so it's like not like anything's gonna run, but I feel like I'm definitely gonna get a full six pack of those cold IPA, and I'm definitely gonna get a four pack of the warp whistle just because both those are so good.
Untitled's not gonna sell out though, the cold IPA. Do you think
the IPAs do better than
really
the well, and especially this because it's a six pack instead of a four pack, so that means we only have four of them to be four packs to be purchased
at a time.
But it probably won't be gone by Thursday because it's not that crazy, until I post about it on social media and everybody sees it. If you don't follow Citywide Liquors on Instagram or Facebook, please follow, because that's every Thursday you'll get a wonderful post of every single new beer that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Especially weeks like this when we got like 80 new beers in, you probably
really
want to see them all
list.
And see all the
names.
Oh
my gosh.
I'm really not excited to type them all out. That's what I'm really not excited for.
I am, because when I see the email come through, I'll be like, there's an hour of his day.
Because last night I had to go in and add them all to the system, the new beers. And
oh
that
gosh,
was 2 hours of my day yesterday of adding every new beer into the system. So that was a good time. But
name
maybe I'll
beer, tab, it's $16.
Yeah, I think this week is going to be a week of a lot of copy pasting, which I usually don't do just because it's like, 10, 20 beers. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But this week was a lot more, and I need to save myself some time from typing out every single one of these beers and names and whatnot.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to the show this week. You can follow us on Instagram at @6pintsnonethericher. Please email us with your listener questions. We didn't do one this week because we felt like we went a little long with all these fun beers that we tasted. But please give us your feedback on what we drank and tell us that you thought they all sucked. And please leave us all those comments. And also, like I said, email us your questions, listener questions, at sixpintsandontherichard@gmail.com. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us get found organically and gets everyone else to come listen to us as well if they are in the Midwest and of the Midwest, like all the beers that we're drinking normally on the show. Otherwise, everyone, have yourself a great week.
Bye.
Bye.